Well, that's going to be exciting, and I hope you have made plans to attend. I do want to let you know, if for some reason your schedule did not allow you to be here, you had something else that was planned way in advance, you can still give for that, okay? There is a box back in the back right now on a table on my right, on your left, and if you would like to give and you say, oh, I just will not be able to be here, you can still give for that. And I want to encourage you to see that box in the back, and you can also see what God is doing through some of the ornaments and different things. There are the bears back there and different stuffed animals. So I encourage you to have a look at that table on your way out today, and it will be a blessing to you. All right, I also want to draw your attention to inside your bulletin, you're going to find one of these. And this is very valuable above everything else that we do. Now, we're talking today about the greatest gift. We're starting a new series during this month. We're going to be looking at God's greatest gift, Jesus. You see all of these gifts up here. God's greatest gift came in the person of a baby boy. And he's the one we're going to be celebrating and worshiping during the course of this month. And you have the opportunity to give, and we give you a lot of ways to give, okay? You have the ability to give for what takes place this Friday. You also have the ability to give for what takes place beginning this coming Sunday, which is our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. And basically what happens with that, that is every year upwards of 2/3 of the International Mission Board's budget. Every single Sunday and Saturday with the International Dateline, you have over 3,750 international missionaries that are all across the globe sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the magnificent way that we are able to fund them is through things like the Christmas offering for international missions. But any one of them will tell you that more vital than the giving that you will do for them is this sheet right here. More vital than giving is prayer, okay? Prayer is the most vital thing you can give for our missionaries. So I want to encourage you, take some time during the course of this week, pray through that prayer guide. It will tell you how to do that. But today, we also have this great opportunity to begin this season of thinking about this offering for international missions. And I hope you are as excited as I am about all of the different giving opportunities that we have. And I hope that God will use some of this to move you and I beyond our comfort zones a little bit. Everybody has comfort zones. One of the most vivid examples that I saw of a comfort zone was the watch business in the mid-1970s. Up until that point, the Swiss, you know, Swiss watchmaking, Swiss function, that sort of thing, the Swiss had 85% of the watchmaking market. A Swiss watchmaker invented the quartz movement. He took it to his superiors, and they rejected the idea because it didn't have a mainspring or a knob to wind it up. They rejected his offer for the exclusive rights to manufacture and sell that particular movement. And so the watchmaker went somewhere else. By the mid-1980s, after the quartz movement took off and became the standard in virtually all watches, the Swiss had laid off 25,000 watchmakers and went from 85% of the world market to 15% in 10 years. We all have comfort zones. Sometimes they're devastating. Some people have comfort zones in their social circles. There are people that they will associate with, people that they won't associate with. Sometimes it's based on class. Sometimes it's a political comfort zone. If you're a red person, you don't associate with the blue people. The blue people don't associate with the red people. That red state, blue state mentality, we have it. Some of us even have comfort zones in church, especially in the age of COVID here. You want to be close enough to see and hear, but you want to be far away enough that you don't get spit on, okay? I understand that. Sorry, Matt. There you go. But you know, seriously, in church, whether it is the place we always sit, the circle of friends that we associate with, or the type of conversations we employ, the worship expressions that we feel comfortable with, everybody has their own comfort zones, and it is so easy for us to get comfortable and to miss some amazing things God has for us as a result of that. I want you to listen to this. It's the first 63 words of a book written by a guy named Jim Collins. The book is called Good to Great, and here's what he says. He says, good is the enemy of great. And that's one of the key reasons why we have so little that becomes great. We don't have great schools because we have good schools. We don't have great government principally because we have good government. Few people attain great lives in large part because it is just so easy to settle for a good life. So many Christians today are settling for the good life when God has given to us a great commission and a great commandment that gives us great purpose in our lives. When you study Jesus, you find that he was continually moving men and women outside of their comfort zones. You look at the record that's given to us in the gospel, and Jesus comes to Peter, James, and John, and he moves them out beyond their comfort zones. He says in Luke chapter 5, there's that amazing story where they have the large catch of fishes, and if you look at what Jesus says, he says, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And it says they left everything and followed him. They got up and left their jobs. They left their work equipment. They left all of that to follow Jesus. He moved them beyond their comfort zone. You look at a guy like Zacchaeus. You look at a guy like Matthew, both of them tax collectors. What did Jesus do with them? He moved them beyond their social comfort zones and brought them into what we would call more mainstream Jewish society by showing them who he really was. He called the woman at the well. She had all of these awful relationships where she'd just gone from guy to guy to guy. And he calls her to overcome that. Comfort zones keep us out of our potential. If you're in the business world, you know comfort zones can be deadly for your business. They can kill productivity and production. Jesus came into this world. You want to talk about moving out of a comfort zone? That was something. He laid aside his glory to come and walk on the dust of the earth. What are we celebrating this time of year? He stepped out of the halls of heaven and into the stall of Bethlehem. And who was here? Sinners. A bunch of self-righteous people, despised, the multitudes, and then his followers, those people who followed him for a very short time, impacted the entire known world in one generation. And how is that? It's because they moved out of their comfort zones. On this weekend, where we are kicking off this prayer time for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions, I want to encourage you. This is a word for those of us who may have gotten comfortable. Missions is an especially appropriate kind of topic during the Christmas season. I don't remember who said it, but a long time ago somebody said, God had only one son and he made him a missionary. So when you think about it in that way, it is vitally important for us around Christmas time to celebrate the arrival of God's son as a missionary from heaven to this world. So Romans chapter 15 is where we're going to be today. Remember, we kind of ended our messy church series for the year, and we're going to pick it back up again in the new year. But Romans 15 is where we will be today. So if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn there. If you don't have a Bible but you've got a digital device, look in your bulletin and there will be a digital link for these notes in your bulletin. Romans chapter 15, verse 18, the Apostle Paul is going to tell us something about his perspective in his life as a missionary. Verse 18 of Romans 15, he says, "For I would not dare say anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, and to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, by the power of miraculous signs and wonders, and by the power of God's Spirit. As a result, I have fully proclaimed the good news about the Messiah from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum. My aim is to evangelize where Christ has not been named, so that I will not build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand." I want to talk to you for a few minutes today about the mission of a missionary. So there is a sense in some ways that we are all missionaries. I've read to you kind of the personal testimony here of the Apostle Paul. He is a great example to us in the Bible. Paul says, "God saved me as an example of all those that he would save." Not that everybody is going to have that Damascus Road experience that Paul had, but it is this idea that in Paul we find how Jesus Christ comes to each and every one of us and shows us our need to repent of our sins and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. The point is, if God could save Paul, God could save anybody. He is this great example of our salvation. And he's also a great example of service, because if you look at Romans 15, it makes it very, very clear. He is an example of what it means to be a missionary. Now, I don't know where your mission field is, but I know you have one. If you are students, if you are in middle school or high school, you have a mission field, and it is your school and your friends. If you are in college or in the business world or wherever you are in your neighborhood, that's your mission field. God sent you into that field, just like he sends a missionary halfway across the world to tell the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to those people and to win them to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there is a specialized sense in which he calls some people to go out and to be missionaries, what we would say vocationally, in different areas. And some people go out and they do it locally. Some people go out and they do it internationally. Some people do it nationally. And sometimes there's this little battle that takes place between people's ideas of local missions, but also international missions. And there is a danger of focusing only on local missions or only on international missions to the exclusion of the others. So there is the microscopic mentality that deals with just what is around you. There is a telescopic mentality that deals with just with what is halfway across the globe. And what we need, what we need is to coin a new word. We need microtelescopic or something like that, you know, that will help us to understand. It's got to be both of them at the same time. Jesus really gives it to us very clearly when he says, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So it's not either or, it's both and. We're to be missionaries here, we're to be missionaries to the ends of the earth. So I want you to see a few things about missionaries today. We just kind of want to give honor to them today and talk about what it means to be a missionary. So the first thing I want you to see, you've got some blanks in your notes page, I want you to see the fruitfulness of a missionary. The fruitfulness of a missionary. Notice in verse 18, he says, what is the purpose of a missionary? He tells you what the purpose is right there. He says, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. So what's he saying right there? He says, my goal is to win the Gentiles to faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about obedience to the faith. When the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the gospel is proclaimed, there's an invitation, there's a call for people to obey. At the end of this message, there will be a call for you to obey what God is doing in your heart and in your life, and you'll have the opportunity to respond to him. And that profession of faith, maybe you'll make a profession of faith today and say, yes, I want to follow Jesus with my life. That profession of faith needs to be demonstrated in terms of the reality of follow through. We have people who come and they will pray a prayer. And maybe you've seen this or heard of this before. People who go and they pray a prayer and then there just doesn't seem to be any change in their life. And you can't see anything different. You say, did that person really know Jesus? I don't know. I don't know whether they did or not. What I can tell you is how you can get a pretty good idea of it. 1 year from now, if they are still obedient to the faith, if they are still living for the Lord, if they've followed the Lord in baptism, if they've gotten into a local church fellowship, that's a pretty good indicator that it was a genuine, real obedience. Our purpose is not just to count numbers. Now, numbers can be an important metric, but our purpose is not just to get people to pray a prayer. Our purpose is to win people to faith in Jesus Christ. Paul does not have an ounce here of self-glory or self-praise or anything like that. He says, my goal is to make sure they change their lives toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's the greatest work of all. The greatest miracle of all was not when God parted the Red Sea. The greatest miracle of all was not raising Lazarus from the dead. The greatest miracle of all is what happens in men and women's lives every day when people get their lives changed by Jesus. The greatest miracle of salvation. Impure people are made pure. Dishonest people are made honest. Liars are made into truth tellers. All of that changes when somebody comes to know Jesus. The fruitfulness of a missionary is an amazing thing, that they have this amazing ability to see that life change take place. We have missionaries all across the globe that can give you story after story. The fruitfulness of a missionary. Secondly, though, I want you to see the faithfulness of a missionary. The faithfulness of a missionary. Verse 19, it says, as a result, I have fully proclaimed the good news about the Messiah from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum. So he says, I have proclaimed from Jerusalem. He was faithful in exactly the spot God told him to start. God said, you begin in Jerusalem. Now, we know for us what our Jerusalem is. It's Simpsonville. That's where it all begins. We start right where we are. A missionary is to be faithful right where he or she is, in Jerusalem. I want to make sure you understand, though, Paul was a missionary not because he took a trip in a ship. Okay, not because he went away somewhere. He was a missionary because he fully preached the gospel beginning in Jerusalem. If you are not a missionary in your Jerusalem, what makes you think God is going to use you as a missionary in Illyricum, in somewhere halfway across the globe? If you trace the journey of the Apostle Paul, he started there in Jerusalem. Then he went to Illyricum. That's right across the sea from Italy. It was about 1,400 miles. That was a long trip. But God would never have used him in Illyricum if he had not been willing to be used in Jerusalem. And if getting on a boat is not going to make Paul a missionary, what makes you think getting on a plane is going to make you a missionary? If you will not share Jesus with the person who lives across this street from you, then do not export your disobedience by going on a mission trip somewhere halfway across the globe. Make sure you are sharing Jesus with the people around you right now. If you are not prepared to be a witness for Jesus Christ in Simpsonville, God's not going to use you in some other part of the world. We need to be faithful right where we are at. He says, as a result, I have fully proclaimed the good news of the Messiah from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum. We know what the good news of the Messiah is, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that it is the good news that even though you and I were sinners, that we're separated from God because of our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his wonderful love and mercy, left heaven. And he came as a baby boy, lived a perfect life on this planet. But then he died a death that sinners deserve. But he didn't stay dead. He proved he was God the third day by coming back to life. And if we repent of our sins and we invite the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives to take over our lives, we'll be saved. That's the good news. He says, I have fully proclaimed that good news to you. I've been preaching the gospel now, I was thinking about this week, for 34 years. I began preaching when I was 13 years old. I have promised the Lord, and I promise you, that as long as the Lord gives me breath, and as long as he gives me a sane mind, and as long as he gives me health, I am going to fully preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell it the way that it is. I'm not going to compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ, and don't you compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ when you're sharing it with other people. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. He told his three most famous parables, or if you look at it the way I do, one parable with three different facets, they were all about lostness. What is lost and found? In our current culture, people say, you know what, it's not polite to call people lost. You don't want to do that. So we have these words, unreached, unchurched, unidentified, seekers, a lot of different things like that. But if you don't see people as lost, and if they don't see themselves as lost, why do they have any need for the alternative, which is to be saved? Your lostness is what robbed heaven of its only son. Lostness is what caused the angels to bow low as he laid aside his glory and stepped from the halls of heaven down to the stall of Bethlehem. Lostness is what caused God the Father to turn his back on his one and only son. The real problem in America today is not drugs or terrorism or illegal immigration or changing administrations. The real problem in America today is that men and women are lost and without hope, and they need Jesus. The faithfulness of a missionary has to be to share that gospel. Today, God's called everybody here who knows Jesus to be a missionary. There are just faithful ones and unfaithful ones. Which one are you? The faithfulness of a missionary. Third thing I want you to see, though, is the freshness of a missionary. There is something amazingly fresh about being able to go and to share the gospel with somebody. I think probably some of the most exciting work that is ever done is the work that missionaries do. Never a dull moment. You look at the Apostle Paul. He was shipwrecked at Malta. He was almost put to death by stoning at Lystra. He was scourged at Philippi. He got bitten by a venomous snake on Malta. An amazing life of adventure that this guy had. And he talks about the freshness of it. He says in verse 20, my aim is to evangelize where Christ has not been named. He says, I want to go somewhere where Jesus has not been heard about. I want to go where somebody has gone who is, or I want to go where nobody else has ever gone. He wanted to go to a fresh frontier. We're living in a day of fresh frontiers. Think about the fresh frontiers we have that we literally have never had before. As I teach today, it is being videoed. It will be put out. Our congregation members can view that. But through our Vimeo channel, there are all kinds of other people who view that. That channel, this past month, had hits from South Carolina, obviously, but also from North Carolina and from Georgia. And from Illinois, and from Tennessee, and from others. By that form of outreach, people anywhere across the globe can access the gospel of Jesus Christ by accessing this church's video page. That opens up a door of opportunity. That is a fresh frontier like nothing we have ever known up until our present moment. I have the ability, literally, to preach all over the world this week. That's a fresh frontier. If you're interested in world missions, one of the people you need to read about and think a lot about is a guy by the name of David Livingston. David Livingston's one of my missionary heroes. He was one of the great beginners and the forerunners of the great missionary movement. They asked David Livingston where he wanted to go. They said, if you could go anywhere to share the gospel, where would you want to go? And he said, anywhere as long as I'm going forward. And that's such a great line. When he got to Africa, they took him up on a high mountain, and he looked down on Africa, and he began to weep because he said he saw the smoke of 1,000 villages, people who had never heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. David Livingston served there for years and years, sharing the gospel with the people of Africa. And when he died, his body was carried back to England to Westminster Abbey. You go to Westminster Abbey today, his body is there, and they will tell you, this is the body of David Livingston, but his heart isn't here. They buried his heart in Africa because he was someone who was constantly seeking new frontiers. What's your new frontier? Where are you looking to share the gospel this week or this month where you've never been before? Maybe it's to that person down the hall that you work with and you say, I've never had opportunity to tell them. Maybe you need to go see that person this week and begin a gospel conversation. Laying fresh foundations, fresh frontiers. He says in verse 21, I don't want to build on somebody else's foundation. He talks about a fresh foundation. There is nothing wrong with building on somebody else's foundation. John 4, verse 38, Jesus talks about the great missionary enterprise. Jesus said, I sent you to reap that on which you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you have entered into their fields. So there's nothing wrong with doing that. But sometimes we build on a fresh foundation where nobody else has ever been before. Jesus said, now, if you remember, we talked about this during the course of the Messy Church series in 1 Corinthians 3. The Apostle Paul says, no other foundation is anyone laid than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. Jesus lays the foundation, but then we have the ability to build on it. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, you remember that? We lay fresh foundations, and on the mission field, they go, and our amazing missionaries, they share with people faith in Christ, and then organize them into local churches. Fresh foundations. Last thing I want you to see that they have, the fresh faces. As it is written, he says, he has a text here. Isaiah 52 is where that is in the last verse here. And it says, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. He says, I want to go to fresh faces. I want to go somewhere where Christ has not been named. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter what their socioeconomic status is. It doesn't matter what their nationality is. None of that makes a difference. I just want them to hear the name of Jesus for the first time. Oswald J. Smith, great missionary statesman, he had a great quote. He said, why should anyone in the world hear about Jesus twice until everybody in the world has heard about Jesus once? That's a great question. There are millions and millions of people in the world today who have never heard the good news of Jesus. Y'all, there are people in Simpsonville. There will be kids in Simpsonville this December, and they will hear about Santa Claus, and they will hear about Jingle Bells, and they might hear that Christmas is Jesus' birthday, but they won't hear any more of the story than that. Every year in previous churches, my wife would deal in children's ministry, and she would work with kids at a birthday party for Jesus who had never heard the story of Jesus. That was in North Carolina. That's in the Bible Belt. This is the Bible Belt, and there are people here who have never heard about Jesus, boys and girls, men and women, and they need you. God called me to be a pastor, to serve in the local church. But I think every Christian should make themselves available to the Lord and say to the Lord, if you want me to be a missionary, I'd be willing to be a missionary. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to give an invitation kind of in two parts today. And one of those parts revolves around what I just said. Maybe you know Jesus as your Savior. And you would be willing to say, you know what? I feel like God may be calling me to be a missionary. God may be calling me to go into a harvest field for Him. And if that's the case today, maybe you just want to come and pray and you want to make that public with folks. You can do that today. And I encourage you to. Maybe I'm talking to somebody today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're in this room or maybe you're watching via video. If either one of those is the case, today you can know Jesus as your one and only Savior. You can pray today in this moment and you can say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know my sin separates me from you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and save my soul. Thank you, Jesus. And if you prayed that prayer in the stillness of this moment, if you meant that in your heart, Jesus has promised that He will save you. I'm going to pray for you now, and then I'll ask you to stand. Father, I pray that you will move in hearts of your people like only you can do right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing that song, if you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you to come. And today, you can know Jesus as your Savior. If you have another decision you need to make, maybe you've heard this message and you say, you know what? I need to walk across the street. I need to walk across the room. I need to share Jesus with that person I work with. If that's a need in your life, then maybe today you need to come and pray for strength to be able to do that. Whatever that need is in your life, maybe you need to be baptized or join this church. I want to encourage you, if God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't wait for somebody else. You come right now as we sing. Let's sing.